You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
I'm not the biggest New Year's Eve guy. I don't really put much faith into making resolutions. If you want to make a change in your life for the better, do it when you feel the motivation to, not when the clock strikes midnight on the last day of the year. I'm also not a big partier. Granted, I used to do my share of drinking and going out, but that was a long time ago. And these days I'm more content with a charcuterie board and a glass of port and a quiet night in front of the television. Not to mention that I'll be damned if I'm going to stay up until midnight unless I'm dry heaving or the house is on fire. The thing I do like doing on New Year's, though, is looking ahead to all of the great things coming in the next 12 months. Getting excited about things to come, like all the incredible games slated to release next year. So that's what we're going to do today. Sit back, pour yourself a cocktail, kick your feet up, and let's take a look at the 10 games of 2023 that have me excited. First, we've got Dead Space, which arrives January 27th. The Callisto Protocol came out towards the end of the year, and there were high hopes that it would be the heir apparent to the long-dormant Dead Space series. Well, even putting aside the many technical issues that that game had at launch, it still seemed to fall short of what horror fans really wanted. Well, you know what they say, if you want something done right, sever its limbs yourself. Something like that. The upcoming remake looks to be both faithful to the vision of the original as well as taking advantage of the new hardware to deliver freakier scares than ever before. It's one of the first big games of the year, and I can't wait to see if this heralds a resurgence of that classic series. Next is Hogwarts Legacy, arriving February 10th. Now, I know this game is a hot-button issue, but I am firmly in the camp that this universe has grown far beyond the hands of the transphobic bigot who authored the original stories. And there are fans of Harry Potter all over the world, my own child included, who refuse to let her ruin this world that they love for everybody else. So he and I will be sitting side by side, playing this game, finally enjoying a fully realized Hogwarts with all of the cool little details and iconic locations that we've been dreaming about for years. Atomic Heart arrives February 21st. Oh, Atomic Heart, if I'm being completely honest, I don't know what the hell you're actually about, but you look like a psychotic Bioshock-inspired fever dream, and I'm kind of here for that. The visuals look superb, the art design looks wild, and it's available day one on Xbox Game Pass, which means it's really easy to try out for some of those oddball games that you're not quite sure about. Then we have Star Wars Jedi Survivor, launching on March 17th. 2019's Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order was a welcome resurgence of the Star Wars brand in gaming. We've had lots of, you know, first-person shooters and flight sims and VR experiences, but developer Respawn gave us what I had been clamoring for, a thrilling third-person adventure with a cool story. Do I remember a lot of details of that story? No, because my brain is made of cream of wheat, but I recall having a great time with it while I was playing, especially when I turned the difficulty down a notch, which made the combat far more satisfying for myself. I am excited to see what they do new in this sequel. Another big sequel is The Legend of Zelda: Tears of the Kingdom, which arrives on May 12th. Tears of the Kingdom should be the runaway contender for my game of the year in 2023. After all, Breath of the Wild still holds the crown as my favorite video game of all time. But there is one thing holding back my excitement. The Nintendo Switch. Let's be real. The Switch was outdated when it released back in 2017, and it's really started to show its age, both with, you know, new consoles like the Series X and PS5 really showing what is possible, and because developers are starting to struggle to get their games to run well on it. But Nintendo first-party titles do have a habit of defying the odds and making their games look great, so as long as the technical side of things are squared away, this should be one of the best games of the year. The rest of the games here do not have solid release dates, but are due to release in 2023, and that includes Alan Wake 2. After years of teasing in some of Remedy's other titles like Quantum Break and Control, we are finally getting a sequel to one of my favorite Xbox 360 games. We don't know much about the plot yet, but they have said that this game will be much more of a survival horror style of game as opposed to the original, which was a bit more action heavy and a bit of a shooter. However, it ends up playing. Remedy has established themselves as one of my favorite game developers, and I can't wait to get my hands on it later this year. As well as Assassin's Creed Mirage. There aren't many franchises that I love more than Assassin's Creed. I've played almost all of them, and to some extent really enjoyed most of them, including the latest trilogy, which took the series into a decidedly RPG direction. They were huge 100-hour epics with dozens of side quests and loot to collect. And while I loved this take, those were great games, I'm also incredibly excited for the series to go back to its roots with Mirage. Shorter, more of a focus on stealth, this is really the direction I'd like to see the series take. And hopefully this first crack nails what made those early games so special. Next is Redfall. I am not a huge multiplayer or online co-op kind of guy, so I was initially a bit hesitant about Redfall, but they swear up and down that this vampire slaying adventure is just as good as a single player experience, and I'm hoping that that's the case because everything they've shown so far looks really fun. A diverse cast with unique abilities, tearing through a small town, leaving no bloodsucker unstaked. Arkane Studios has a great reputation with games like Dishonored and Deathloop, and if they can deliver here, then Xbox might have its first great exclusive in a while. Spider-Man 2 launches in the fall, and I'm being honest, my PlayStation 5 has been passing as an overly large piece of modern art for most of the year, so I am ready for some great games to warm that sucker up, and Spider-Man 2 will no doubt deliver that. The original was one of the best superhero games ever made, in my opinion, and created a sense of mobility and excitement that even the classic Activision games never really got right. The follow-up, Miles Morales, was great, but also was a little bit familiar, and it didn't stray too far from the original game. So I'm curious to see what this sequel can deliver that will make it stand on its own and not just feel like a piece of DLC in the same map. And then finally, we have Starfield. This is the big doozy. I can't think of a game that has had this kind of pressure placed on it in recent memory. It's the first new IP from Bethesda Softworks in 2 decades, and it is one of the first big games since they were acquired by Microsoft. This game has the legacy of The Elder Scrolls and Fallout on its back, while also trying to show that Xbox can deliver Game of the Year worthy experiences. No pressure, right? What we've seen so far looks great, with a more grounded approach to sci-fi storytelling, but we won't know until we play it if they were able to stick the landing or if it crashes on approach like some of their more recent games. For me, 2022 has been a year of tremendous struggle, but it's been one of rebuilding. Midlife SideQuest is a project that I love, and I feel optimistic about what it can become now that I have a dozen or so episodes under my belt. I'll spend the next year tweaking things and trying out some new ideas. It's not going to change drastically, but it's more about just sanding out those rough edges. After podcasting for 8 years, it feels new and exciting again, which is amazing. And I want to thank some of the folks who have both encouraged me and my podcasting career, both then and now, as well as those who have served as my inspiration and push me to be a better creator. First of all, the Nintendo Dads, who in my book are the OGs of gaming podcasts for old farts. Luke Lore, whose professionalism is always an inspiration. Danny, Paris, and Pete from Gamertag Radio, who have shown me what commitment and perseverance looks like. Brad, Alex, and Vinny from Nextlander. I'm first and foremost a huge fan, but they are also just great, down-to-earth, relatable guys. Khalif Adams, who has shown me that podcasts can be entertaining and meaningful. Jeff Grubb, who can somehow make one of the best news shows about the industry feel like you're just hanging out with a friend. And the fellas over at Megadads, past and present. I made some great friends over there, and there are some terribly talented guys that have been through that site. Thank you all for your support and your inspiration over the years, and here's hoping that 2023 brings happiness and success to you all. Thank you so much for listening to Midlife SideQuest. You can catch new episodes of the show every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe and leave a review. And you can follow the show on Twitter or Hive, where we go by @MidlifeSQ. A little bit of housekeeping before I go. Next week, there will not be a new episode. I'm going to take that extra time to work on our first ever Midlife SideQuest Game of the Year week. We'll have a new episode Monday through Friday, the week starting January 9th, to count down the top games of the year. Should be quite a bit of fun, and I hope you'll tune in. Until then, stay positive and keep playing.